Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Duchesne, nice job. Sends it across. Rantanen in front. Score! Rantanen again! It's a hat trick in Winnipeg. Hintz was right in front, but it's Rantanen who remains scorching hot. That man is out of his mind.
Final call. Fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube, especially after you stayed up late for the Dallas Stars. Game one victory in Winnipeg as Mikko with a back-to-back hat trick. Maybe, tough to argue, the hottest player in all of sports. Had a natural hat trick in the second period to continue a run we've never seen the likes of in Stanley Cup history. That was the call on ESPN. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean and RJ with you. Jason Garrett on the George Pickens trade at 9:20 this morning on your official home of the Cowboys. Rantanen has scored or assisted now on the past 12 goals, and no player has ever had that type of individual impact on a single playoff stretch. Most consecutive goals scored or assisted in playoff history, Mikko with 12 points, Lemieux with 9, Brad Marchand with 8, LaFleur with 8, Tricky Rick Middleton with 8. Spittle, I think, threw in Tricky.
Oh, he broke Tricky. The Pickens news yesterday, Tricky Rick.
Ravishing Rick.
So we know about the greatness right now of Mikko, but I'm going to look at Spittle's Spits and Suds report for the second star of the game, and he says it has to be Jake Oettinger. They came up with a little chant yesterday.
Yeah, you know, because he was Connor Hellebuck's backup on the American team in the Four Nations, and they were chanting, "You're Helly's backup."
Canadians are so nice. In New York, at the Garden, Philadelphia, you got the F word, and in Canada, the chant is
"Helly's backup."
If you're a backup,
well, you know
so
what?
So nice, so pleasant.
I mean, if you're Helly's backup, you're going to play quite a bit with how often he gets pulled.
Right, he gets pulled, especially on the road.
You're basically you're splitting time,
like co-starter.
Yeah,
you're a co-starter.
It's
man.
Running back by committee out right. here. You're yeah. goaltending by committee.
You're the closer.
Spittle said it's going to be a backfire because Oettinger loves to go into enemy territories and shut the other team down, and that is what he did in the third period. A 9.35 save percentage in the game. And in 4 out of his last 5 games, he's been no less than a 9.12 save percentage, so he is dialed in.
Look, that was they played a really solid team hockey the third period. That's a situation where you know Winnipeg has to score. They're going to be throwing everything at you. And you can get caught up, right? You can get caught up and you miss one assignment.
I think that's the best drama in sports is the last
couple minutes.
2 minutes yeah. of a one score hockey game.
It's when you
have the lead.
When you have that lead.
What do you mean best? Like it's anxiety.
Well, most dramatic.
I was gonna say it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not enjoyable.
Yeah, true.
And you know, I'll tell you, it's when you're watching, so like the game before, the Toronto, Florida. Same thing happened, right? You know, Florida was down a goal, and they went with the man advantage, and even watching that when you have no interest in the series, none, is just very stressful. And then when you're clinging to that one goal lead, and it's like, okay, you hope they can't pull the goalie too soon. You hope, right? Just hey, give me an extra couple seconds, right? Here's an extra 10 seconds, an extra 15. And now you get to like maybe a minute 30, and they only have a minute 30 with a man advantage. It's huge. And then you have other situations throughout the game where Winnipeg had the power play, and they got the power play with 8 seconds to go in the period, right? And that kind of screws everything up because, you know, obviously when you get a power play, the faceoff for that is in the other team's zone. But when you start the new period, it goes back to center ice. So you're not in the zone. So you kind of get screwed, you know, with the power play. That was a little bit of an advantage for the Stars. It was a good time for them to take a penalty late in a period. So they don't even get the benefit of the full 2 minutes. It was a minute 53.
Other Stars from Spittle and the Spits and Suds podcast, Sam Steele, the forward, does everything you need. He picked up an assist on the Mikko goal. And remember, in Game 7 against Colorado, he was the one who cleared out space for Ratanen to score the first Stars goal in the third period. He kills penalties. He has some offensive skill. He'll do whatever it takes. And Winnipeg was 0-for-4 on the penalty kill, and Steele is a top penalty killer for the Stars. Cody Ceci, often knocked by hockey fans, but there's a reason as teams move on. He gets more minutes, kills penalties, and he was third on the team with time on ice for the evening. And then Jake Rietma, who joined us in studio at 7, talked about Esa Lindell and another save. Bobby, you were even talking about that.
Yeah, you talked about the 93% on Ottinger. It was 100% save percentage for Esa Lindell. That was, yeah. I was certain. When you watch it back, it's like, how the hell does that not go in? Like, the fact that they didn't get that. But, I mean, they got 10 shots off in that third period, and just they could not connect.
First with time on ice with 27 minutes, 52 seconds played, and almost 7 minutes of that was shorthanded. 6:54 of that was shorthanded. Great stuff from Spittle.
I mean, you're gassed. You're gassed at that point. And 27 minutes is a lot of time on ice. That's a lot. You think it's some of the, now, obviously, like, you know, positions are different. Every position's different on the ice and who gets the ice time. But especially you get in the playoffs and the way they change the shifts and the time on ice, 30 minutes is a lot.
And then you look at the faceoff circle, 54% win rate last night, and that equals puck possession, right? They have several players that are great on the draw. Hintz was 11 of 17. Wyatt 8 of 13. Sagan 7 of 13. Duchesne 6 of 9. Steele 6 of 13. So yeah, there you go.
And then the one thing you got to worry about in game two is what we thought happens in a lot of these series with Denver, right? Denver already. We saw this last night. Where
I'd be interested to see how it happens in hockey versus basketball. Right. Because like I know tonight it's an automatic. I believe. Don't mark. It's gonna haunt me. I'm betting big on Anthony Edwards scoring a ton tonight, and this is going to be a Minnesota blowout, especially with Steph gone for a week.
Yeah, like I think right now.
Like last night, I bet on, you just knew I would have lost. Well, I did lose on Tatum, but you knew Boston was going to dominate. You knew that OKC was going to dominate because these teams are content going in on the road and getting game one.
You get game one, you're fine. You're fine with, you've already reached your goal.
Yep.
And you know, like if you're Golden State, it's like, hey, just get me to game five tied at two. That's your goal now, with Steph being out for probably a couple of games. But in hockey, you know, the Stars are in a really interesting spot because we have already detailed how Winnipeg does not play well on the road. And the Stars have a tremendous, tremendous home ice advantage. So this is like, you win this game tomorrow, I mean, pack it up. Stars are 4. I got them at 4 anyway. you win tomorrow. I don't even know. I don't even know. Like, just save your money for the next round.
How much are you going to rub it in Seve's face if you get Stars in 4? You're going to be like, not bad for a football guy, huh, Seve?
No. Pete. I'm not going to rub anything in Seve's face. Pete. Seve looks like he would.
He's an enforcer. You don't want to do that.
He would pin my head against the wall.
Pete DeBoer, of course, though, was asked about the new superstar. Well, I guess he has always been a superstar, but now he's the star superstar.
Keep it going. Let's see how long he can run this for. He's rolling, you know, and he's feeling it, and pretty impressive what he's doing. I mean, you know, considering the opponent and the time of year and, you know, how he's dominating games, really impressive. So, you know, and I think it's the first time we've won a game one since 2019. I thought our group did a lot of good stuff. I mean, Otter made some huge saves down the stretch. PK was outstanding. Got a power play goal. Special teams, again, were great. So there's a lot of things there for us to build on.
So there you go. finally winning a game one, game two tomorrow night with the same start time. Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. We have the Red Zone for NFL football mostly at 9:20 every single day. But right now we got a little bit of keg.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
A commission is being created. Oh, Bobby's not happy with Nick Saban.
No, he is not happy with Nick Saban because Nick Saban is going to help change college football. The president, we talked about this. He wants to get involved with the NIL. And now I have a love hate with this. When people try to get involved with sports, a sport that they don't know the ins and the outs of, what happens? They inevitately wind up screwing this whole thing up, right?
Yeah, but the president of the United States is not going to have the ins and outs of every single matter that he touches, right? That's why you need advisors. That's why you need specialists. You need experts.
Like Saban.
And that's where Nicky Saban comes in.
This dude is such a douchebag. I cannot stand Nick Saban.
What?
Oh my gosh. Like, you little pocket watching MF. Like, if you ran away from the sport, run away from the sport. Don't sit here and try to, like, well, let me flip it back, and but then I'll sneak back in. I cannot stand Nick Saban.
Wouldn't Saban argue, I'm not trying to pocket watch, I just want some control over the pocket watching.
Yeah, I'm sure
which
he
I
wants
want
control.
Too.
Yeah, no,
there I
needs
want
to be
some
rules.
Order.
There needs to be rules.
No, look, your order, your ability to have a say in this came 10 years ago when this was coming. And you refused to dig it. You dug it and said, nope, we're powerful enough. We'll be able to check this as long as we want. We're basically the NFL. We're one of the most powerful organizations. And then when a court said, nope, NIL's here, you got to deal with it. Well, now it's the Wild West, and you have to deal with the fallout from that. You don't get to come back and correct it later. You screwed up, and now you have to deal with it.
What do you think what do you think the idea is? What do they want to do, Choppy?
Well, I think what they ultimately want to do is have contracts with the players. That's what they ultimately want, which I think most people agree with.
I do.
The contracts with the players. I think the players actually would be on board with this because it would be.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well,
unless what you're trying to say, the school will be locked into it.
Well, the school will be locked into giving you the money, right? You know, it's like, hey, there's two sides to this. Like, you could get NIL money, right? Let's just say Quinn Ewers. Let's say Quinn Ewers goes to went to Texas right out of high school, got a great set of money, great NIL deal. And then they bring in Arch Manning the next year. And they have they're like, all right, you know what? Maybe we don't want this anymore. We want to give it to Arch. They can just move on from you. Well, now if you have a contract, they're locked in, right? So it protects the players from that standpoint. But you can't leave as easy. You know, it's not the Wild West.
And you should enforce it for coaches, too.
And you should enforce it for coaches. And that's where the buyout comes in. Right, so at least the schools get something back.
Saban's a clown. If he was coaching still, fine. Put up your fight. Get the hell out. You're gone, you self-important jackwagon.
But is it not him. Is it not right what he's trying to get?
No, he's not right about anything. He's out of the sport now. Get the hell away.
No, but his idea, you should be able to separate things, Bobby.
No, because the NCAA, like I said, the NCAA had their chance. They don't get to double back now when they have no power and go,
as a fan, I'm talking selfishly as a sports fan. I want my quarterback to be there. I want to be able to keep track of who's on the teams. You know what I mean? Right. That's my problem with college basketball forever. Like, I don't have any 3-year jelly.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want – good for the player. I'm talking selfishly. I don't want – what's his face who dated one of the girls who cheated on and went to Miami?
Carson Beck.
Carson Beck. Like, I want to think of him as the Georgia quarterback.
Yeah, I get that. And you know, it's going to happen, and we're going to see guys – like, Cam Ward was that incarnate word – then Washington State, then Miami. Now, that was a situation where he didn't get any offers out of high school, so he went like, right? And then he improved. Yeah, that's what when you start at Alabama, and then the next thing you know is you're at Oklahoma, and then you're at Oregon, and then you finish up at Wake Forest. Like, that's a little bit weird.
When the people demand change from the dictatorship, and the dictatorship digs in for forever, and then eventually it falls because the people tear you down, you don't get a say in, like, building it back up. You're out.
You are out, but
Saban is one of the main reasons there's chaos.
I don't disagree with what
you're
saying.
So he doesn't get a say now.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I think what we all are saying.
These SEC cultists, they all think the same, that they're just in charge of the whole damn universe.
Well, they are, and you're part of this now. Whether you want to be or not.
Be the change. That's what Texas is. Be the change.
Whether you want to be or not.
Shedeur Sanders is wearing number 12 with the Browns, and they're trying to say that's for his mentor, Tom Brady. He's worn number 2, but now it's going to be number 12.
Man.
I liked, by the way, Brady, after they've talked about, oh, yeah, Brady's involved in every single decision. He's got his roots here in this Raiders organization. And they're like, hey, why didn't y'all take Shedeur Sanders? And he's like, I don't really have a say in football decisions, guys, so I'm totally off on that.
He will not be the backup now. You can't give number 12 to a backup. I went and looked. There's only 2 backups in the NFL who wear number 12. One of them isn't even a player yet. He's an undrafted free agent. And then the other one is Aiden O'Connell, who started last year. 12? 12 is not a backup number.
Did you guys hear the Brady Affleck story?
I don't think it's the Affleck one.
I've been saving this. It's so good. Ugh, I don't know if I have enough time for it. All right, this is Ben Affleck. He's on with the Kelseys. I thought it was tremendous.
Oh, I thought you meant Affleck like the insurance, duck? The duck.
No. You know what? I'll save it for tomorrow. I'll save it for tomorrow when we have our look back or worst take with one of our brand new segments, because we got to get to a brand new segment every day at 9:20. Jason Garrett on George Pickens being a number 2. How is that going to work? More Cowboy trade reaction on the Home of America's team next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
You know what I like about the media? They think you can just dial 1-800 and get a quarterback.
If you love football, this is the place to be every single day at 9:20 on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. It's the Red Zone here on Sean and RJ with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. We'll crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece at 9:40. I think we got to mix in, you know, we got to be balanced. We got to go good. We got to be bad. I feel like it's been like 70%, 75% pro George Pickens news. You know what? No, we're going to keep it going positive. I don't want to stir Bobby up. He just got worked up in the last segment.
I'm going to be good. Go ahead, hit me. Hit me with some negativity.
No. I'll save it. Let's start. This might be negative. How does everyone share George Pickens? So 2 negative things I heard yesterday. Look at the history of Pittsburgh receivers when they leave. What happens? You got Antonio Brown. Do you attribute that to leaving Pittsburgh? Or really just things going on upstairs in AB's head. You had Chase Claypool. That ended up being a total complete meltdown and bust.
Chicago? Did he go to Chicago?
They've got the Hembo research. Schefter tweeted it about Steelers receivers when they leave. So receiving yards per game on Steelers drafted in the last 20 years. Antonio Brown with the Steelers was 86 yards per game after he was 67. Mike Wallace, 64 yards per game with the Steelers, 49 after he left. Santonio Holmes, 63 with the Steelers, 42 after.
Juju now, how much of all that was with Ben?
A lot. Santonio was with Ben, then he went to Mark Sanchez. Like, okay.
Let's factor that in.
Everybody has declined by at least 20% on their receiving yards per game when they've left Pittsburgh.
And did you mention Plexico?
No, it's got Deontay Johnson, Martavis Bryant, Chase Claypool, Juju, all these guys.
Plexico got a good career after.
Yeah,
the longest yard career was pretty good.
But look, honestly, real quick, I know size aside, because Burris is much taller. Is there any does Pickens remind you of Plexico at all with the way he runs?
I kind of wonder if that's just like the unit. Like he's a little lankier. I kind of wonder if it's just like he's not as big as Plex.
No,
but I wonder if it's just he's a taller, lankier guy in that Steelers uniform, so it kind of looks reminiscent. But there is some Dez to his game when people talk about that. He's not as built. Dez was 225. Pickens is 200 pounds. But like, there's a little bit of like
Pickens is more agile than Dez. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to be more acrobatic. Dez with these jump balls. When a jump ball gets thrown up, Pickens is going to look like a gymnast more than Dez. Dez is going to look like a freaking power forward going up and dunking on you. He's going to look like Blake Griffin.
Dude, I had some. I got some feedback yesterday from some folks when I was just chatting about this with various people, and there were some people who wondered, though, about the idea of, like, hey, Pickens is the contested catch guy. Like, are we sure that's the best fit for Dak?
I know. When you were talking about the yards of separation, they're like, that's not good for Dak. That's not good for Dak Prescott with the 2.2 yards. But look, he's obviously upgrading in terms of quarterback, but the numbers may not be that much better because he's going to be the two. And Jason Garrett hopped on with Florio yesterday. I thought he was fantastic. This is part two of the discussion. And they asked Jay Jeezy, you're an offensive guy. How does everyone now share in DFW?
Well, the best teams we've all been on, each of the component parts and individual players make each other better. And the best teams I've been on were the Cowboys Super Bowl teams in the early 90s. And I've said this a million times. The offensive line made the runner better. The runner made the line better. The runner made the quarterback better. The quarterback made the runner better. They all made the receivers better because there were nine guys on the line of scrimmage. So, you know, I think you have to talk to the guys about that. And ultimately, when we all do our part and we all compliment each other and we all make each other better, the spoils will come to everybody because we'll be winning. And I do think Philadelphia is a good example of that this past year. I think everybody bought into that idea that we're all going to make each other better. We all need each other. And we might not all have these gaudy statistics where we're catching 110 balls, but I'd rather catch 80 for 1,100 and 10 touchdowns and go win the NFC East and go have a chance to go to the NFC Championship game and catch 110,
right,
and not have those same opportunities. So, you know, I don't like the word salesman. I believe in the word preaching. You know, it's something that you preach as a coach every single day. And the best coaches I've been around preached it a lot, and everybody bought into it. The issue, though, is you have to win. Mm. Because if you're not winning and you're preaching this and everybody's being selfless and sharing and doing all that, and you're not having the success, all of a sudden it becomes a harder thing to sell and to preach. So I do think they'll all make each other better. The biggest part of this thing is when one guy gets attention, if they're all giving CeeDee Lamb attention, you know, that guy over there picking, he's going to be by himself. Right. And now you got to earn it. It's one-on-one. And conversely, if they're rolling over there, CeeDee's going to be by himself. And that's why it's so important to run the football. Because if you can run the ball, all of a sudden, all these opportunities open up for these guys. So it all fits together, but I do think it's important to preach the right things about team. It's not about your individual statistics, it's about us winning. And if you've got the right kind of guys, that's an easier thing to preach.
Hard to do that. Hard to do that, too, when you're looking at contract years.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what George Pickens is in.
Right, and there's a danger here. There's a danger here because in a contract year, you're gonna me first a lot of things.
Yeah.
But you're also gonna play hard.
Yes.
And you're gonna play hurt.
Yes.
Right? So there's a give and take. It's good and bad. You're gonna play hard, you're gonna play hurt, you're gonna give literally the most max effort you have, but you're also probably gonna be thinking, hey man, if I'm only I can't eat off of three catches a game.
Yeah.
I need $30 million next year.
And one of the concerns that you had, you got something on that?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I think we saw 2019 to 2021 when there were a lot of different weapons here. Like, with Dak there, they were on track for multiple thousand-yard receivers. Like, I think you can have both guys eat and get to 1,000 yards pretty easily.
One of the questions that Choppy raised yesterday was, what if Pickens gets paid before some of the others? What if George gets his money before Bland? What if he gets it before Fur? What if he gets it before Micah, Jason Garrett?
You know, it certainly seems like the Cowboys' contract situations get more attention than anybody in the league, don't they? I mean, you know, we're waiting on Dak's contract, then CD's, and then Micah's and all of that. So, you know, hopefully some lessons have been learned that you can make some preemptive strikes here and try to sign these guys earlier rather than later, because the market's only going up. I do think they have to see how he fits in. I do think they have to see how he plays before they say, oh, let's sign George Pickens to some sort of a long-term deal. I don't think that's in the plans right away, but I do think he's a good fit. There's no doubt from a contract standpoint, Mike is the priority. So I think all the eggs are going into that basket. But, you know, George Pickens is a young player, and the combination of two receivers like Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, that can be a lethal combination. So if it starts to fit, it starts to look right, my advice is get ahead of it.
And then the reports did come out yesterday that Pickens is not adamant. He's fine with playing it out and proving himself.
Yeah, did, $30 million.
Did that come from Clarence? I want to make sure I don't get another Clarence meltdown. Man, you want to see competition? Y'all want to see competition? Let a story like this come out and watch the Cowboy media cannibalize each other. Yesterday was a fest, publicly and behind the scenes. It was incredible to watch. People are acting like they're scrapping for their jobs. Was that from Clarence? I want to give proper credit.
I don't think it was. Jane and Clarence were swinging at each other yesterday.
Go Jane.
Yeah, they were going at it.
But the report did come out seriously that he wasn't trying to go ahead and get the extension now, which I'm very happy with.
Right, and it's good and bad. Like, the good here is that they're not going to upset the locker room, because I do think, like, if they get to camp, they get to training camp, Mike is still not signed. And he does that. He pulls a CD, he pulls a Zach Martin, and he doesn't sign till mid-August, right? And then Pickens comes in here, and you give him an extension like week three, right? Week four, something like that. And I know it's not before Micah, but that might be like, guys, I had to wait. You dragged me through the mud. You dragged Dak through the mud. You dragged CD through the mud. You made Micah wait. You know, you're making Tyler Smith. You know, made all these guys wait. So, like, that might.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference when you're literally on the last year of the deal versus being eligible for the deal. Not with Micah, probably.
I think if George Pickens was willing to just come in here and take a deal, they'd give him one. But, like, if it's going to take a negotiation and, like, we're going to have to fight for every dollar, then, it's going to be a different setup. But if he would come in here and say, hey, I'll give you all a discount, then, they wouldn't care about hurting anybody's feelings. We're prioritizing George Pickens at that point.
Let's keep it positive. I'm going to save the negative for tomorrow. I'm in a good mood. You know, Stars won game one, finally.
Dallas Stars!
When did y'all play that
we
out?
Didn't. We didn't. You did? That was organic right there.
Dallas Stars!
Man, it only would have been better if Peyton played the drop at the same time.
That would have been so perfect.
That would have been great.
y'all actually going to force Reitman to giving up airtime, which is the last thing you'd ever think possible. Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, finally applauds the Cowboys' offseason move.
They have a pulse. They're doing something. I've been screaming at the Jones family, guys, engage here. Get in the fight. Don't just run the same nonsense back. They didn't. I've called them the most boring team in the NFC East. They just acquired maybe the least boring player in the league for all of his faults. And we'll get into them, because I don't think this is necessarily a doomsday horrible thing for the Steelers, but it is a sign of life for the Cowboys. It was going beep, and then it was beep, 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 and now the needles are jumping. I'm impressed. I'm a little excited, and they are far more interesting and far more dynamic. George Pickens is not always a parade and a picnic, guys, and there will be a lot of attention on him, but he's incredibly talented. They need it. They got it. And the fact that they did something makes me give high five to the Jones family. Thank you.
Preach. Preach.
Kyle's good. Kyle's good. I do think
he's intense.
He can be intense. I don't know if they're the most boring team in the NFC East. I still think that's the Giants. The Giants are pretty boring.
Giants are very boring. Giants are very boring. But, you know, he'll go on these rants. He did that one, was it a week ago or so, on Shador, right? Where it was news to him that people will be making things up just for clicks.
Tolo Trey said, guys, when receivers leave Pittsburgh, they win Super Bowls. AB, Juju, Plaxico, Manny Sanders. So well done, Tolo Trey.
Oh, take that.
Let's continue to party with the Stars and crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece next.
Here's Harley to the net. Score!
Edmund does it again. He deflects the shot from the point. It's his second goal of the game, his seventh of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and Dallas takes a 2-1 lead.
ESPN with the call. It's time to crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece with Kevin Hagelin wearing his Stars green. Corey Majors, good morning. Thank you for the Paige Beckers Hurtado mention.
Nice.
I heard at the end of the interview, she was like, why'd y'all hold back?
Yeah, Kevin, do you want to explain how you did this? Because we made friends with her by the end of this interview.
So basically, at the end, I was like, we're so professional. I hope you appreciate how professional we were. And we usually like to engage in nonsense and shenanigans. And she's like, oh, I like fun and shenanigans.
Oh.
And she goes, next time I'm on, let's just get into it. And I was like, great. And then I asked her a question with a swear word just to see. I don't know if we have that audio. I was like, what if my first question was like, all right, first effing question. But I didn't, of course, censor it. And she laughed and she goes, oh, love the enthusiasm. I'd be in.
Brandon Hurtado texted me, said, I got chills. I got chills off your question, Corey.
Woo-hoo! Awesome. Awesome.
What's coming up on the program?
We do get into Puck Around and Find Out right out of the gate with it's Miko's world. We're just living in it. And Jared,
we'll try to ask questions to people about Ownwell as well, if possible. Well, really,
steal my ads like Bassett used to.
And actually, I use Ownwell. They sent me an email from last year. They said, "Hey, we're already doing it this year." So I didn't even have to do anything. They already started back up.
What great teammates!
Simple.
Jared will join us at 10:20, and
Jared
then
who?
Sandler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotta name your guests.
We will.
Man, who would have thought a throwaway tease would have caused so much problems?
We'll send it to the Rangers game at noon today. And evidently, our interview with Bruce Bochy screwed up Bruce Bochy yesterday. Kevin flustered him so much that Bochy couldn't manage a win. And that's what we got to talk about at some point.
Yeah, it was his fault.
I screwed up twice in that interview.
Wow.
First, I started by saying good morning, and he goes, well, it's afternoon here, and then because they're on the East Coast, and I looked at the clock, and in my head, I was like, hey, good job, dip ass. And I was like,
what time was it here?
It was 12:30, and I was like, it's afternoon here. I don't know why I did that. And then I had a question, because obviously you moved up Evan Carter, and the guy who took over in spring training was Alejandro Osuna. And I meant to ask him about something Chris Young said on G-Bag about what's left to see from Osuna. And I said Alejandro Rosario, who, of course, he's injured. He'll be out for like another year. And
Bochy answered the question.
He tried his best. And then I clarified and he goes, oh, Osuna? Yeah, man. I'm an idiot.
Did Alex send Bochy cuts yesterday? I just want to make sure because I've decided, if I can, to turn on Alec.
Oh, no.
Oh.
After
the Peyton?
No, the cupcake thing.
Oh, yeah.
After
yeah.
the cupcake thing.
You're looking like creamy now, face.
Instead of writing thank yous to his emails, I'm hunting them.
Because
I want to know, I'm sure you guys asked Bochy about Brett Boone.
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah. I would like to have seen if there
was
a cut in here. I want to make sure before I go after him and try to get him in trouble.
What was the
Peyton
bet?
Gets off the phone with whoever.
Man, who's he talking?
Did y'all do a giveaway? Yeah, I think y'all did a giveaway.
He did the giveaway like 10 minutes ago.
What was the bet? What was the bet payoff for the cupcake?
Ja. And the freaking Adam Silver.
Yeah, there was the second one.
The second one. The one that was, because I was out for this one, right?
The grenades.
Yeah.
I was like, he'll get suspended.
Oh, Peyton's back.
Peyton, did Alex send Bruce Bochy cuts yesterday? Did you notice?
No. Or maybe I wasn't on the email. I don't know. Could have been one of those.
Okay.
All right. Do you block Alex's emails?
No, I block him on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
He did book his page, though. So we gotta give him some
nothing
love for
me.
We
did something.
He did. We asked the Hurtado question, you jackass.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It did do something.
High
for
five,
me.
Alec.
Yeah. Did he send us that cut?
Yeah, he did send Becker's audio.
All right, you know what, Alec? No, good job.
Yeah, he did.
You're even now.
Man, what a begrudging comment that was.
But yeah, I asked him about how the two strike approach is going to change for them, because Brett Boone's one of those guys that likes to choke up and stand over the plate like that's, and you saw Evan Carter do it last night, and so he talked a little bit about that, and it wasn't as much about Boone, but the idea that Donnie Ecker was more analytical. And Brett Boone's going to be more cerebral with it all. When you're going up to the plate, is there less clutter and less...
Just swing, man.
Like DeBoer says, hey, I want the guys to have two or three things to think about. You go up there with Donnie Ecker and you're thinking, all right, 18% chance of this, 20% chance of that, and you're just, you're thinking too much. And what do they say in Bull Durham? Don't think meat. Just go up there and throw.
When you ask him stuff like, hey, how does this change the two-strike approach? Do you guys get like inundated on the fan text with fans going, why are you trying to give away our strategy? Like whenever we ask questions of the head coach of the Cowboys.
Honestly, not really.
No, they love us.
Which is interesting.
I don't know why that only applies to football when we ask questions.
That is odd.
Jerry
they just want to know more. Like it seems like they want more of that type of information.
Well, Jerry also comes down and sometimes tells us who's active and inactive, which I'm sure the coach McCarthy never loved.
Right.
So
McCarthy didn't love a lot.
I think we developed a strategy based on that happening a couple times with your show. Is we just started asking questions with rumor as factual statement. And we're like, hey, since Tyler Smith isn't going to play this weekend.
Yeah.
And then he would be like, well, you know, he is out. And then he would just fall right in line and confirm. Mm-hmm. Like what we thought already.
How come you didn't try that with the D's nuts question for Steven? Why don't you go, since you know, clearly you saw
because
that he said D's nuts.
I was so irritated by what I thought was a bullcrap answer that I doubled down. I was not planning on that whatsoever.
Why don't you elaborate more on that?
It is my favorite audio clip in the system. Is
I'm not
Hagee
familiar
following
with that.
Up?
Fine.
He said D's nuts, yeah. And then Steven just laying out for 3 seconds.
He laughed about it though. He ended up laughing about it.
Did either of you guys notice anything or take issue with the Stars television broadcast last night on ESPN?
Because Connor Hellebuyck is the greatest goalie that has ever existed in the history of the world.
The eyes.
Oh my god! He's used so many features on this goalie.
I'm not talking about the features.
The one thing that kind of jarred me a little bit, the ad on the boards kept flickering, and that kind of threw me off.
It does throw you up. It is kind of cool that they can do that now.
Yeah.
You know, the ads on the boards.
Maybe that threw off Hellebuyck.
I was talking about the announcers and how bad the broadcast was.
Okay.
I've heard boring get tossed around a lot, but we need to have Bobby not speak on this, right?
It was very boring.
Razor does such a good job of the sea of humanity in front of, like, his action words are so good. Yeah. And last night, you got a lot of detail on what's happening,
yeah,
but not a lot of adjectives.
There's no energy. Yes. It was as if they were in a studio half a country away.
It was like Cooperstein calling a Mavs game in a broom closet.
Right. It'd be the same thing. It's like, you know,
which Nico may still have a man.
Maybe.
Wow. You are nothing.
Double down.
It was
not your fault, Coop.
It was not like conducive to a good broadcast. There was no energy for the game. The game itself has energy, right? The announcers add.
Yeah.
They can't subtract.
But it was the analyst. Is it Cassie Campbell? Is that her name?
Cassie. I don't remember her last name.
Someone has got to tell her.
Somebody messaged, somebody DM'd me and said, this lady who's not doing a good job.
Very low energy. Very low energy.
She was low energy. That's fair.
Thought she was great.
Good job, Bobby.
Yeah. What do you know, ma'am? 877-881-1053. Bobby Bundy over here.
That is actually one of our topics today, too.
I think that's going to be tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Never mind. We'll do that.
So our combo platter.
Announcers?
Yeah. No, our combo platter tomorrow.
That's not cool, guys.
Okay. Yeah,
sorry, Jared. Sorry, Jared.
That's my favorite drop now.
Is going to be, who's your favorite movie or TV mom of all time?
Okay.
And so we definitely had discussions about Peggy Bundy. Yeah.
Corey Chase.
Corey Chase. Favorite movie or TV mom of all time?
It's Claire Huxtable, right?
That's mine, yes. Hold on, is that yours?
Man.
Oh, crap.
Can I find a better one?
Okay, yeah. Claire Huxtable was amazing.
I enjoyed Married with Children so much.
I'll say one of the teen moms. Kind of chaotic.
Farrah? You're Farrah Abraham?
Yeah, Farrah Abraham. Go. One of the teen mothers. Best TV movie mom. Look.
It could be a movie, though. It could be a TV show.
Yes. Stop being Orlovsky over here. You can participate in this.
I gave an answer.
Peggy. Who was it?
Corey Chase.
No. Don't look it
Stop
up.
Stop it.
Who is that?
Don't look it. Don't.
That's my favorite movie, Mom.
Hey, if you're out there listening, do not look it up.
I don't know who that is either.
Jodie West.
She's a stepmom.
Okay. Right. I see what you're doing here.
And her daughter got stuck in the dryer.
Yes.
I was figuring this out.
And considering that I'm married to a category, let's leave it at that.
Oh, my gosh. Do you count Daenerys
Targaryen? We got to play that audio.
As a mom.
Who? Because she was the mother of dragons.
She dragon birthed mother. Those dragons.
Hey, one of the segments I want to do at some point is statute of limitations, where I would just take something that like we agreed upon like 3 years ago we couldn't talk about, but we're like, enough times passed. That's got to be one of the things we do. Is in 2 years we got to play Luca's interview with you.
Tell
you
but what, I think your timeline on that is accelerated from the rest of the world. I think you're like, it's been a week. Play it,
Luca. Luca's story at the doctor. Had me
that was Julian
rolling in the car.
You know, because you've been there.
Because my kid's the same way right now. Like my middle son is the same age, same thing. He's got to go through his physical too, and he wants to crack jokes and be hilarious, and it's just like you are embarrassing me. And then I'm like, I'm on radio doing the same thing a lot of times.
Yeah, I do the same thing, but I could never go back to that doctor again. You know, and God, thank God it was a guy doctor. If it was a girl doctor, he would have said something way more inappropriate.
Lawsuit.
And probably something would have happened to him that would have been inappropriate because.
Been like having Bobby there.
12.
Yeah.
The is she a baddie part? That's exactly my son's same thing.
Is she a baddie?
Yeah. Is she going to be a baddie? What if she's a baddie?
Yeah.
Percentage of George Pickens approval from your Tolos yesterday?
It seemed like 70, 75.
Everybody has the same kind of feeling. You know, like the talent is there. Can they manage the player?
And are you guys both in?
I'm definitely in. I noticed, like, I don't know if you're with me on this, Corey, but the 25 to 30%, at least a subsection of the people who are out, is just because they do not believe that the Cowboys are capable of making a smart move.
Or that Dak is good enough to.
And I get that, like, whatever issues you have with Dak, I'm not here to litigate those. But, like, this feels like a fundamentally sound, I think, football move. So I'm in favor of it. But some of the people who weren't is because they're like, oh, he'll never get on the ball, which I get.
Ultimately, this was a really good offseason. It actually was a really, really, it was quiet in a lot of respects. But they did some things that they really needed to do.
I think Paul Pierce is on mile 4. Of his,
is he really doing it?
Robe walk.
Yeah, he said if the Celtics lose game 2, he's walking to. He has to walk to work.
And I did think he not see game 1 and think about the potential?
No. Why would you? Why would you be like, oh, we're up 20, we could lose. We're
because
not the
that's
better
exactly
team.
What happened in the first
Which
game.
Which had a 98% math guy probability of not happening. 98 and 99.
I have to admit, I'm stunned by the turn of events.
Who would you
pick
to win the series right now?
I'd pick the Knicks.
Okay.
Because, look, the Knicks have a player who can close in Jalen Brunson.
Don't remind him right.
Sometimes, I know, I'm sorry. Sometimes the issue that the underdog teams run into is like, hey, you won a couple games, but you don't have somebody who can close. Brunson can close.
Are you guys along with our theory that the greatness of Miko right now is making life even worse for Nico?
Yeah.
Well, I could see that.
Because every time it's the eco factor.
Yeah.
Thanks for explaining it, Chop.
Good job.
We needed that. We're back tomorrow. It'll be a Friday edition.
Is that an environment joke?
No.
No. It was a
Oh, my God.
Rhyming.
Miko.
It's your one thing. It's a rhyming joke.
It's your one thing.
Okay. It's time, Peyton. Hit the button.